Welcome back to episode 201 of the Block Earner Podcast.
Here's where we discuss the latest development in cryptocurrency while we make this new technology relatable to you. You can watch this podcast on YouTube to follow along with our discussion. Another way to stay up to date is by signing up to our newsletter at theblockrunner.com. As always, we have your host William talking to your co-host Iman. And here are some of the topics they discuss today.
First up, learn the significance of NACATs and their timelines illustrating the intricacies of bitmap data. Next, the host emphasized the importance of understanding updates and simplicity of token deployments, attributing complexity avoidance to laziness. They also extend their gratitude to their community. Then, they examine the market's rollercoaster behavior, from the surge in Bitcoin price to the God candle effect due to ETF rumors. And finally, they touch upon global concerns and the importance of innovation readiness. All right, let's listen in. Welcome back to another episode of the Block Runner Podcast. I'm your host, William, always here with your co-host, Iman.
What's up, dude? What's up?
On the sticks, we got TJ.
Hello.
All right, and we're back. Bitcoin is at 60 something and change.
It is. Yeah, like quite as the God candle finally occurred, because I remember, whenever the ETF Hypium was all like, that's all anybody could talk about, right?
That was in January, like a third week of January or second week.
So about a month ago, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, a month ago. Everybody was like, you know, talking to the town. I was like, what's going to happen once, you know, ETS come online?
Yeah, you said all-time high. I said dump.
All-time high pre-halving is what I said.
No. Let's be clear. You said as soon as the ETF gets approved, we would see like a God candle.
You're right. I didn't say that.
Right. I was like, no, you're wrong.
Yeah. So like, I was like, you know, that is going to be, because typically, you know, like events like that, it's always buy the rumor, sell the news. So I was like, not this time, dude.
Correct. Yeah. That's what you said. Yeah.
This time, it's different. Because you couldn't imagine like a more bull case scenario than like,
no, you can't,
institutional like injection.
Well, you can. It's not institutional. It's government.
Okay,
going in. That's it's over.
It's gonna dump even then.
Yes,
I guess is what we're saying. So I was thinking, you know, that there's no way like the market's gonna interpret this as like a sell off signal, but they did for about a 2 week stretch, I guess.
Yeah, I would say so, yeah.
And then we had like a quick recovery, and then now, like, all of a sudden, market exuberance. The switch has been, like, flickered on, clearly. Like, yeah. We're hearing people who have, like, not mentioned Bitcoin's name for years all of a sudden re-enter the chat.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that's what happens when Bitcoin goes up 10% in a day.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, that's huge.
That is fucking huge. The amount of capital that requires, it shut down Coinbase.
It did.
Right?
That's so annoying. It's annoying not because like you're trying to like use Coinbase, but it's annoying because anyone trying to build a, like a infrastructure, they have no hope in like keeping the systems online. If Coinbase can't do it, who can?
Yeah. What does that mean? Like we should all just like
just give up,
throw in the towels. Like if Coinbase with their, you know, multiples of billions,
yeah,
they can't manage to like, you know,
keep the lights on when
any type of like surge activity.
Yeah.
And yeah, the rest of us fucking bootstrappers, like, we're destined to doomed.
That's why all the websites go down, right? Ordinal's Wallet, mScribe.
Yeah, and then, like, as far as Rush goes,
this sad.
I don't know we're even close to, like, what I'm sure they experienced.
Yeah, but it's on, like, a, you know, like, a same, like, a different scale, but sort of, like, technology, really.
Well, I understand.
We're still using the same shit. Amazon. Yeah.
No, I know. They're just scaled up like to a much higher degree because they have to be.
Yeah.
But yeah, like a moment like that where all of a sudden everybody's talking about Bitcoin again. You're seeing Jim Cramer on CNBC in absolute panic.
And dude, like, that's so weird, man. Every time we talk about Jim Cramer, he's like, he says like good things about Bitcoin. It dumps.
Yeah.
And he says bad things and it's like God candle.
Yeah. I know. I mean, that's literally the meme. Inverse Cramer, right?
And, but why is he so like, you know, like human?
What do you mean?
Like emotional, like positive sentiment, negative sentiment.
I don't know. I mean, I think this is part of his brand at this point. Like, he's the fucking Mad Money guy, dude. He's like screaming and shit, fucking ringing bells and shit, you know? He's like the guy. He's been the guy on Wall Street to like, you know, inject some entertainment, I guess, into like probably one of the more like non-entertaining things in the world, which is like finance.
Yeah,
pretty fucking snooze fest. If you flicker on a CNBC at any time of the day,
yeah,
That's like good sleep material, dude. If I ever found it. But when Hell Money comes on, though, it's like boom, 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 boom. It's like fucking loud music and shit.
Yeah.
Fucking flashing lights. That's Jim Cramer. You know, like, he built a brand around that. So of course he's gonna have like
this sentiment change on Bitcoin just all of a sudden to me is weird.
That was weird. But also very predictable. We've seen this happen so many times. It literally is like a flick of a switch.
I could watch Iron Man impersonate Jim Cramer all day, dude.
You can tell I watched a lot of
I've actually never seen a full episode of Mad Money.
You're missing out. Truly missing out. It's good coverage, dude. I mean, of course he's not always going to be right.
No.
And he's actually wrong quite a bit. It's actually kind of amazing. He still is like, as a presence.
Well, I think he has my presence because it's entertaining, right?
And he has like an actual origin to him. I think he was like head of like NASDAQ trading back in the day or something like that. You know, he's not a nobody.
Okay, okay.
He knows what he's talking about. He's just fucking crazy, you know, at the same time.
Yeah.
That adds to the allure.
It's like, you know what, Jim? We need to put you in front of a camera.
It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Give me $1 million, dude. I'm in.
Yeah.
And, the light flicker switch happened, I guess, this week. So, I mean, people in my real life are inquiring, like, hey, what the fuck is going on with Bitcoin? Dude, I got those text messages this week.
So crazy how it happens every time. Yes.
That's what happened. That's why Coinbase crashed. Literally everybody turned on their Coinbase at like the same time.
It's like grandmothers. Like,
let me dust off this app.
It's the only app with dust on it.
It's been like a couple of years since anybody's logged into that motherfucker. But all of a sudden, everyone at once is just like, yo, yeah, let's look at my Bitcoins.
It's like, I've made $15.
It's like, thank you, Jimmy, for telling me a couple of years ago to buy Bitcoin. Shit like that, you know? And Coinbase just couldn't handle it. They couldn't handle that smoke, dude.
That's crazy. Did you know that we're more than just a YouTube channel? We also built Mscribe, the first inscription platform built from the ground up for the metaverse on Bitcoin. Connect your bitmap ordinals and use our tools to bring your community into the virtual realm. Support us by joining the movement at mscribe.io. Like, comment, and subscribe for the latest alpha. Back to the video.
But that's good. So we officially have received our signal.
Yeah. Yeah, the alarm bells at Coinbase are going off. It's like, okay, it's time to turn on all the systems.
Pretty much.
It's time to hit the systems, so we got to turn them all on.
Time to rehire everybody we fired over the last 2 years. Yeah. It's like, we're time to prepare.
Yeah.
Bull market is officially, like, the season starts now, and the clock is ticking. We got about 18 months or so, roughly, until, like, we hit the market top.
All right, so I want to contextualize our conversation with this rainbow chart here.
Yes,
and let's go back to, let me zoom in here, right? We hit COVID, and we're like, oh, the world is actually ending. It's over.
I genuinely thought it would. I was one of those people. I was so scared. And
you're like, I don't have enough, like, chickens.
I got a lot of chickens after COVID.
That's more real than you think, Will.
For real.
You're memeing, but those are real texts I've got.
Yeah.
No, I'm telling the truth, right?
Okay, yeah.
So, I don't have enough chickens.
Yeah.
That was like the tweet here. And then it hits this green part. I was like, wait a minute, it's not ending.
Yeah, it's like the money printers are back on, dude. Let's fucking go.
Yeah. You know? And then it just goes ham, dude, to like 62,000.
Yeah. And then we're seeing Elon on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. All right. So then let's go back a little bit more, right? Let's take a look at this stretch here. See if I can actually move it. I'm going to just zoom in here. Okay. So over here, this is the year 2015.
No, is it? I think I see
2015.
Oh, he's over here.
All the way to 2017, 2 years of blue hell.
Blue hell. That is blue hell.
You know what's crazy is that even in this blue hell, it just went up.
Slowly, but surely.
Yeah, so this is like, we're looking at $200, we're looking at $1,200 here.
Yeah, these must have been like a true desperate winter, and I remember it because I entered the space like immediately after this, like winter phase, and I remember hearing like the fucking trauma stories of like people who came into the space during the last peak of the market, which is basically like after Mt. Gox completely collapsed. And
yeah.
The whole infrastructure basically of market activity around cryptocurrency was just like fizzling. And so imagine, it's basically like FTX, but if FTX was like the only provider of like market activity, like imagine how that would have felt. It's like, oh, I guess FTX scammed everybody. At least I have like, you know, Binance and Coinbase, like and Uniswap. I could still fuck around.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So we didn't all feel that bad, unless you got personally burned. But imagine that feeling. It's like the whole market,
all of crypto's gone. Yeah.
That was so. Yeah, that contributed to probably like the most depressing era of crypto. I bet. That's what I would label that as. You know?
Oh yeah, it looks obvious. I mean,
but what's happening during that time though? Ethereum is being built.
That's right.
Like right around here.
Like 2015.
Ethereum ICO is happening. There's fucking shit happening. ERC-20 developed.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, whoa, we can make our own shit coins.
Yeah. So Bitcoin was largely ignored here. There's nothing happening on Bitcoin.
Yeah, and it just suffered like a traumatic event. So it's like, yeah, you know what? Let's pick up the pieces over here in Ethereum land. And then
and my point here in talking about this is like all of a sudden it breaches that green line, that dividing line here.
Where is that? What time is that? This is
2017. This
is literally right around the time when I was hopping in. Right there.
Yeah.
Right there, dude. And I remember.
And then you hop in, it's like, oh shit, I'm just like making money. I'm a genius.
Yeah.
That like, man has literally saved Bitcoin.
My entry into the space, dude. That was a signal to get in, dude.
Yeah.
Like, get in. But yeah, I remember a lot during these days.
Yeah, we were sending texts to each other. It's like, dude, we're in a bubble. I was like, all right, man, this is not a bubble. This is actual legitimate technology.
I was like, no, dude, we're in a bubble. Trust me. It's like, this shit's going cratering down, dude. You know, don't lose your money. You're like, you know what? Go fuck yourself. But yeah, here we are, you losing your money.
Yeah, it's like, well, I guess, I mean, you're right.
So you see that red? That's where Will bought in.
Pretty much. It was right around the zone. Will's like, you know what? New paradigm.
Yeah.
I remember this.
And then it's like, you know what, I mean, I guess you're right. Let's go have an enchilada. And let's just have a chat, dude, about this stuff. Because
yeah,
there's something here.
That's true. It was right around there, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's at some point.
Yeah, then it actually dumped. And then this was like, you know what? It's time for a podcast.
That's correct. It was like time to fire up the cameras.
Yeah.
You know, we got something to say. It's like basically, yeah, we're like at pure like destitution, like the peak of that bear market.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, how are we going to pick up the pieces from here?
Right.
That was like the whole motivation for the podcast, right? It was like somehow this is all going to come back. So
yeah,
we should probably spend our time like investigating and figuring out like who's going to like bring back, you know, put the wheels back in motion.
Yeah. Yeah. And so here we experience the first green flippening here, right?
Yeah.
And it gets to the yellow and then it starts dumping, right? COVID. And then we're back to where we were, right? So now let's talk about where we are today.
Okay.
Right. It finally breaches from blue to green.
Finally, dude. So we've been fucking in this blue zone of hell.
Yeah.
For a pretty long time, like, again, but it wasn't nearly as depressing because luckily we were in ordinals, which is like the Ethereum of that last,
that's right,
that depressing era where like the innovation is happening.
Yeah.
When everybody else is so clearly depressed.
Yeah.
I literally saw people like posting about like, dude, I lost my wife. I lost my house. I lost it all, dude. And it was like, damn, that really sucks
that
for you,
sucks, dude.
You should have like, you know, paid attention to ordinals. You know, just saying.
Wouldn't have left you if you were in ordinals.
I think you could make a case, probably. I don't know, dude. But the point is, we did this cycle, spare cycle, what we did whenever we first started the podcast.
That's right.
We focused on where the innovation was emerging.
That's right.
That's why we were able to capture, like, in the last bull cycle, like, what are going to be the killer narratives? NFTs, GameFi,
yeah,
DeFi, Metaverse. What else, dude? That's good enough.
Yeah.
we were early to all of those. I was like, yeah, this is clearly like the new stuff.
Right.
Right. So here we are in ordinals.
And everything in ordinals is basically new.
Yeah. I mean, fucking just digital artifacts.
Yeah.
Digital matter theory, you know, actual non-arbitrary assets and stuff. These are the new things emerging in this space.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, we have like a 3 or 4 candidates list here that, you know, these may be the drivers of like, these are new innovations that,
yeah,
are going to inspire new development, you know?
And the only new stuff that we heard from Ethereum, just by scrolling and we haven't really looked into it, was ERC-404. And even that was pitched as like some like breakthrough innovation.
Yeah.
And it's just not.
Well, fractionalization. That is really not that new. We've heard that like a million times.
Yeah.
Security tokens have been like a pipe dream since like 2018, but it's like a regulatory like nightmare. So, you know, like
the deep nightmare.
Yeah. The fractionalized ownership of valuable assets.
Yeah. Ever seen the movie Get Out?
I think so.
With Jordan Peele. And
Yeah.
It's like, remember when that guy goes into that dream and he's like falling? And like slowly,
mm-hmm.
It's like that's what it's like to deal with security tokens.
Okay, I totally get that. 100%. You're falling in the dream, I guess. Falling exactly. To a void.
Yeah, it's not gonna work, guys.
I mean, it can work, but you're gonna need like
regulatory approval. That's what you're gonna need. It's not gonna work until then.
I mean, people are gonna get away with it for a while. Like
because you can do it outside of like these regulatory boundaries.
Yeah, you can make the protocols, like build it into the protocol like ERC 404 is advocating. It's like, don't just issue NFTs anymore. Issue like NFTs that have like actual fractional
security implications.
Yeah, that tie the ownership and the actual existence of that NFT together.
Right? Yeah, securities, yeah. Let's do it.
No. Not securities. Don't say that, you know? No, this is
not securities. It's just fractional ownership.
Yeah, but fuck all that noise, dude. Just like, let's tinker with this while nobody's like noticing, right? And let's see what we can build with this, right?
No, I encourage the tinkering. I just don't think it's gonna pan out into anything like legitimate.
Well, it would. This is like, but that's how DeFi was. Like you can't be that afraid of how do you know if I should say it? But it's like, don't be so scared of regulatory bodies, right? You have to innovate no matter what. So these people who are putting in, that's why most of these founders are like anonymous, right?
Yeah.
Contributing to DeFi and such. Like they know, like these are like in the gray territory of like, you know, whether or not these are acceptable securities or non-securities.
Right? Yeah. I'm curious, if you're anonymous, what measures do you take to remain anonymous? Like, are you using a VPN network?
Yeah.
Have you created an email account on like Proton? Yeah. Using a VPN?
Yeah. Are you giving the Anon like guidebook right now?
Yeah. Are you using the Tor network to communicate on Twitter?
Wow.
Like, if you're not doing that, you're not anonymous, is what I'm saying.
Mm.
And if you are doing that, you're going great lengths to remain anonymous.
Yeah.
And I would like to follow you. So let us know in the comment section below.
There you go. Yeah, so that is that motivation, right? Because, you know, obviously the regulatory agencies are paying attention. They're sniffing around. They're trying to see, like, anything that is in that gray territory that I can, like, I don't know, I guess extract something to make it look like, you know, I'm operating how I should be as a governing agency, right? And like, look, we're finding violators in that crypto space.
Yeah. You know?
So let's make an example of these different projects and such. So.
Yeah, and the way, every time we talk about violations and regulatory frameworks, I keep thinking about Tornado Cash. Smart contract, and the guys who wrote it are in trouble.
Like actual trouble.
Yeah.
Serious.
Like government-level trouble.
That's my point. And they were literally just the tinkerers, you know, like of yesterday.
And that's why you shouldn't mess around with this stuff is what I'm saying.
I don't know, dude, but we need those bold and brave tinkerers, right, Tim?
No, we do, but
you just acknowledge the risks you're running into, right?
But
those guys obviously were not anonymous, right, because they found them.
I don't know if they were anonymous. I can't remember.
I don't know either, but that is, like, pretty shitty, though. Like, that's fucked.
Yeah.
You know,
it wasn't, like, to support, like, you know, missile development, right?
They're building technology.
Like, It's privacy technology. That's what they were building. At least that's what they were pitching. I mean,
well, that's what it is. But of course, people are going to utilize that for
nefarious reasons.
Correct. So, but it's like the thing we were talking about just now. Like, what is it, TJ? What's his fucking name? The fucking actor who shot somebody.
Oh yeah, Alec
Baldwin.
Yeah, it's like somebody else on his like staff like put a bullet in his gun that he accidentally murdered somebody with. He had no intentions of like murdering anybody.
He was doing his job.
But guess what? Murder occurred, and like now is it all on him?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I don't know. We were debating this. I don't think we came to a conclusion here.
I mean, it's like a weird line of like, absolutely, he murdered somebody, but there's like no. I don't know. It's like there's no liability on his end because he didn't, unless, I don't know, he had some involvement in the miss.
So if you're an actor and they say, all right, Keanu, here's your gun.
Keanu was never, dude.
Keanu, no. Keanu, all right, here's your what's his name? John Wick, right?
Yeah.
Go and like do your acting stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's pulling the trigger. He's doing his thing. Is it really Keanu Reeves' fault that the gun fired an actual bullet?
I don't think so, unless, again, like, he was involved in maybe, like they're saying, like, he was the producer or involved in the production, so he's like, you know what, let's lower the cost here, and then it's like, okay, we're going to hire somebody who has no experience, therefore, you know, bullet and gun. I don't know. You could tie that together if you're lawyers, prosecutors.
I still don't understand how somebody brings real bullets to, like, a movie set.
I don't know either.
I don't understand.
Pretty baffling.
Right. Well, my point is, like, tying these two together is just, sometimes things happen outside of the control of, like, you know, the, I guess, initiator. Like, Baldwin initiated the pulling of a trigger, but his intention was just to play a role in a movie.
Yeah.
There was no murderous intent, right? So the fucking Tornado Cash guy is, you know, pulling the trigger on, like, deploying a protocol that gives privacy.
Yeah, to everybody.
To transactions, but there's no intent to, like, you know, facilitate terrorist activity.
Yeah, I mean,
I feel like WTF, like, that's an injustice, is it not?
I feel like it is, yes.
Yeah, but
what do you think, TJ? Did Alec commit murder or not?
Well, I definitely think that he killed somebody, right?
So that it
if you saw the trigger, you
it correlation.
So what? So wait a minute. So you're an actor, right? They hand you the gun. You got to check the thing before you go and use it every time.
I mean, I would because I've been around firearms, but.
Yeah, but
as somebody who hasn't been.
No, dude, this guy's like he just like chills by pools in Hollywood, dude. He's not a fucking
He's not John Wick.
Like, actually. He just plays a John Wick, yeah. But no, they have people like on these sets, like that's their job, is to make sure these things are
so
safe.
The people on these sets should be the people who are telling the Tornado Cash guys that you probably shouldn't do this.
Well, he's probably like alone, mostly. It was like a small team.
It
was like,
yeah, it was probably one guy. Yeah.
One or two at most, you know? And there's a lot of these DeFi projects that start out like this.
Yeah, dude, you know? Tornado Cash wasn't, like, bad. It's not like holding a gun.
No. But, again, it's just, I don't know. There's some sort of parallel there that I thought, but I don't know.
Yeah.
My point is, fuck. Yeah, there's fear in all this. Like, of course, people are afraid to try to innovate because, you know, there's potential unintended consequences that you're liable for.
Right. I feel like the challenge in any creation is to not have a chance of breaking the law.
Mm.
Right?
Not necessarily. Sometimes the laws, you know, are not right. I don't know. I don't know. I would say so.
I feel like the challenge is to like create something where you're not violating regulatory stuff, right?
Well, you should. Yeah, you should definitely like focus on that, you know?
Well, yeah, because at least you have a defensible position, right? If somebody, yeah, I guess somebody could still misuse it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that ultimately is an issue.
Yeah, I mean,
but then again,
how many people have like misused, you know,
a car,
Binance and Coinbase and all these other centralized exchanges for also,
or misuse the dollar?
Exactly. It's happening in all facets of technology. How much misuse has happened, you know, with Twitter and Instagram?
Yeah.
Why do you think Zuckerberg is on the hot seat? Like, dude, you know how much like child sex trafficking your platforms are like supporting?
It was like, yeah, but I didn't create it for that.
Exactly. It's like, you know, it's gonna happen, guys. It's like, this is what technology does.
Yeah.
Technology is not an exclusive utility to like good.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, I remember that. He was in Congress and they were yelling at him. And he was like, you need to apologize. And he actually tried.
Yeah. That was pretty wild. I don't know, dude. This is a tough subject. We're talking about
the clown world out there, dude.
The justice system and what is... Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. But the point is, don't be scared to innovate. That's my... And if you end up going down for it, for whatever reason, I guess...
We salute your service.
Pretty much. You're one of the martyrs of technology, I guess. Yeah. You know, and hopefully, like, your contributions, sacrifices, like, push the ball forward for humanity as a whole in some way.
Yeah, this reminds me back as, like, man, Satoshi really had the foresight to, like, really remain anonymous in a way where he actually was successful at it. Like, nobody figured it out.
Not at all. Well, I feel like Hal Finney, it's so obvious. My idea.
It has to be, yeah.
It has to be Hal Finney. It's just so much.
Still, there's still not enough to like.
But even if it was, he's already dead. So it's like,
yeah,
so what?
Even worse, yeah.
But if we found out who it was, like, then what? What is the world's response to that? Like,
jeez.
I don't know. Like, so what? Like, what do you do to the man? Is it like,
if he's still alive, like, you mean?
Well, yeah, like, if I don't know, whatever agency or organization that was interested in finding out, like, who's Satoshi?
Dude, I hope Satoshi's still alive, dude. I don't know, 20 years from now, I'll be like, here's proof I'm Satoshi. It's like, here's why I did this. And it's like,
that would be pretty cool.
Every Bitcoin is worth like $2 million or something.
Yeah, at that point, it's like, no, it doesn't matter. It's undisruptible.
That's like after the countries adopt Bitcoin, that's when it comes out. It's like,
oh my God, I did this. She'd be so cool.
That would be quite the cap.
Yeah,
it was like a jump
to everybody.
Yeah, it was like, see ya, fools.
He just says thanks for the cheddar and rolls.
A million times a million is what, a trillion?
Is it?
Probably.
Yeah.
Damn.
That's $1 trillion, dude.
It's quite the exit. $1 trillion exit.
Imagine waiting for that. It's like ETH crash.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, let's hope that doesn't happen anytime soon. Because, yeah, like we said earlier, we got the official light switch. So what happens now, dude? Now that Bitcoin like is confirmed to be like on its up and to the right phase, what do you expect on the time horizon here?
Yeah, so let's make some predictions. So because of the ETF, because we're seeing potential all-time highs before the halving, we could enter the orange to red area. We could. Now, I don't think we will. We could.
What do you mean? Like eventually?
Eventually, yeah. Like in at its peak. Which is going to be around this area here, these two.
Yeah, I'm hearing the same narrative I heard last cycle.
Yeah, it's like,
super cycle.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm hearing that again too.
I'm hearing the exact same thing, which leads me to believe that it won't be. Maybe like
these
super cycle narratives, like they never happen again. It's like as Bitcoin matures, you know, it finds its like stability over time.
Yeah.
You know, because yeah, everybody expects it's like, because you know, inject all these narratives like ETFs and who knows what's going to come down the line, like who's going to start publicly supporting Bitcoin 6 months from now.
Yeah. So I want to show you something. So if you do the max and then, so this is like a linear chart, right? You do a log and look at that. It hasn't really like exploded.
Well, no.
Right.
I mean, no, it hasn't.
And which is proof to what you're saying is that it gets a little bit more stable as it goes on.
Yeah.
And so what does that mean? If you go back to here, it probably never reaches like orange or red anymore. And it just goes, barely touches like orange, and then that's about it. And like you're looking at a maximum like $180,000 Bitcoin.
That seems reasonable to me.
I think so too.
Yeah.
So yeah, anytime like you go into the yellow, that's when you're starting to think about selling and forget about it. No, it doesn't matter what happens. Even if it goes to red and you're like, you feel sad, it's like, doesn't matter. It's going to go back into the blues at some point.
Pretty much. Yeah, you definitely need to equip yourself with that because whenever, like right now, you can be aware, like, it's like, you know what, Will, thanks for that advice. You know, maybe this is like, I came into this space during the bear market, so I don't know what to expect. But yeah, expect like your mind to really start playing tricks on you.
It really does.
Like for real.
It really, really does.
Yeah, even though like you're aware that that's going to happen, like it's still fucks with you.
It really does.
Like
it's so weird.
It makes you make poor decisions. It's crazy.
In
most cases, yeah, it's weird. Like the psychology of
like the euphoria and the number go up.
Yeah, market economics, dude. It's a true force. And why? Because it's it is literally a representation of a sentiment and stuff. So
yeah,
you can get captured by that, and you can make critical flawed thinking patterns out.
You absolutely can.
So that's just like a PSA if you're totally new to all this, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, you're going to literally, the bags you're holding, you're going to be so deeply convinced that like you're literally holding like, I don't know, like the keys to bringing Jesus back on earth, you know, something like that. It's like, they're so valuable. Like they should be in the Vatican, you know, it should be housed in the Vatican, you know?
Yeah,
like that's how it's, you know, fucking.
It's like the Nat Cat, like at the Vatican.
Exactly. This should be like in every major museum ever.
Yeah,
right? That's why maybe at that point they're selling for like a million apiece, maybe. Who knows?
It's right next to the Constitution.
Yeah, fucking burn that Constitution. Deshell it. Not yet, in that case. But, you know, why the fuck? Because, you know, that's how you're going to feel at that time.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to be, like, agreeing with you. And so that's where, like, the mass delusion kind of happens.
That's right.
Dude, it's crazy because we can talk about it now and it's, like, funny now. But when it's happening in real time,
I know.
You actually think it should be in the Vatican.
Yeah.
Like, it's a real, authentic thought. Seriously. I'm not even joking. It's like, dude, like, Elon, why are you going to Mars, dude? If you do, you need to bring NFTs with you or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, things like this.
It's like a sensible thought at the time, but it's outrageous.
It is outrageous.
Dude, 10K ETH was a meme back then, or it was a meme now, but, like, back then, it was, like, a certainty. It was just a matter of time.
Exactly.
It was.
I was right there with you, TJ. Yeah, so I was like, dude, I can't wait till I go to your ranch.
It was just a matter of time.
It was, like, a couple of weeks away, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. How high did ETH get? Like
4,800.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's 2X? Come on.
Yeah.
Like, you really? That's not going to get 10K? You're an idiot if you think that.
The ETH Foundation dumped on everybody
twice.
Yeah.
Of course.
Twice.
Yeah. It's crazy. So just be aware of that. Being aware. That's like telling people to actually, like, have control of their own minds. That's, like, the hardest thing.
Yeah, it is.
Like, yeah. So I'm the last person who should be telling people that. I'm, like, the least good example of that. Will, you should be saying these words. You have way more control over your own mind.
I have way more control, but in these situations, it's really tough.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's like...
It is weird.
It's like, I'm not myself.
You're not. I saw it, dude. I was like, dude, where did your rational thinking go, dude? It went right out the window.
I remember it.
Yeah, you called me.
I was like, you're like, Will, it's like, Amanda's at $5. You should sell some.
Yeah.
I'm like, nah, dude. It's like, you know, Bitcoin's at, you know, 60K. It's definitely going 100.
Yeah. The mood charts told me so, dude. I was like, dude, but Will, but, like, it just did a 500X, dude. It's like, you know, there's probably, it's probably going to, like, retrace. And he's like, no.
Absolutely.
It's not. Like, trust me, man.
Yeah.
I know what the fuck I'm doing.
Exactly.
That's a good example, dude. Like, the market warped your mind in that moment, dude.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's wild. So it's going to happen again. I'm scared.
It is. I am scared, too.
TJ, you got to help us, dude.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to. Yep, I'll be the one.
She'll pull us back in, dude. It's like, guys, you know, I want to, like, you know, stay composed here.
Yeah. Yeah. So that means that ETH is not going to 10K this time, is it?
It's got to, dude.
100K.
It's a certainty.
Okay, easy, dude. What do you mean?
It's built in.
Yeah. 100K is FUD for sure.
So, I mean, really, like, if we're saying, like, Bitcoin ETF is like a $180,000 cap, right? Market cap. Or sorry, price.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's a sensible price for Bitcoin, right? What is a sensible price for Ethereum? Like 12,000, maybe? Like 11,000? Is that the top?
12, 14, I would say. But that means absolutely nothing. It's like, yeah, that sounds like a good number to me. What the fuck does that mean?
That feels good.
So baseless. It's like, yeah, I like the look of that.
Yeah. Just, I feel like that's what you have to do with Ethereum.
Why? I don't know.
Yeah, because you don't have, like, this cadence.
It's true, dude. You don't have a cadence. You don't have a 4-year, like, rhythm. Yeah, but everything kind of piggybacks on, like, this, the cadence of Bitcoin, though.
I mean, Ethereum kind of looks like this. It has a double top.
Exactly.
Right?
So, yeah, it's like Bitcoin really does just guide the whole
it does
thing.
And so, like, if we have a sensible top here where it's, like, 170-ish, then what's sensible for Ethereum, right?
I don't know, dude. TJ, what do you think?
Well, I know when I'll be out. It'll be well before 12K.
Yeah. Well, you're missing out on that extra 4 or 5K, dude. Like, what are you going to do? You're going to, like, jump back in?
No.
Like, you won't follow it? I don't know, dude. What if your brain's going to tell you?
Here's the thing. What if it doesn't get the 10K, though? Like, it caps out at 8,500.
Whatever, Will. I've been holding this long. Just continue to stake, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. Just let it roll, dude. And just try to survive another 4 years. Pretty much. That's the name of this game.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild.
Damn. Okay.
Well, that's Bitcoin. I guess that's crypto, like, in a nutshell. It's pretty weird, this whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. My favorite Willy Woo charts, they're not working anymore, dude.
That says something. I don't know what, though.
Yeah, it just stops at $27,000. Like, well, this is definitely the end of Bitcoin.
I don't know. It's like Willy Woo is just, like, cashed out or something. At that, it's like, you know what? I don't need to maintain this chart anymore.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, dude. It stopped in, like, in March time frame, dude. April.
Mm.
Wow.
Here you go. What a weird time to stop. But anyways, speaking of, Signal is on. You know, bull market officially began. We're talking about, you know, several narratives kind of like drove some interest last time around.
Yeah.
You know, so here we are about to enter like a new, I guess, phase of market appreciation. So a lot of liquidity and capital is trickling into the Bitcoin space,
mm-hmm.
you know, for a variety of reasons. So at some point, you know, these narratives are going to take front and center stage in front of like a new class of a participant, right? So DMT being one of them,
mm-hmm.
is our prediction. And yeah, that sounds kind of like
self-serving
a little bit. Just a tad.
Here's the thing. Hold on. Self-serving. This is a framework. It's a framework that anybody can onboard and use,
mm-hmm.
on their own website.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a framework,
mm-hmm.
right? If like it gets widely adopted and like, let's say Magic Eden like integrates in, like does everything DMT.
Yeah.
They'll make the lion's share of the money.
Correct.
Right? And so, like, this isn't as self-serving as you would think. Like, how self-serving is BRC20 for Domo?
Well, like, trying to, like, advocate for the growth and expansion of that ecosystem?
Yeah.
I don't know exactly.
It depends on, like, which tokens he's holding, right?
But it makes, like, total sense. Like, why would you, like, put out a protocol for people to leverage and, you know, build with, and then just, you know what, I'm actually really more into like SRC20s.
Yeah.
I'm gonna like, you know, contribute to the growth and ecosystem of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't do that. No, like initiator, founder to an ecosystem. There's a reason why Vitalik shows up at every fucking ETH Denver conference, and like,
true.
He's trying to navigate, you know, the community and the ecosystem that has been built around what it is him and his, you know, fellow developers introduced to the crypto space back in 2014, 2015.
Yeah.
Right. A lot of good has come from that, and that focus and that nurturing. Right.
Yeah. And he's one of few who stuck around.
Oh, yeah. Everybody else just went off and like took the glory.
Dan Larimer
spun off a whole different chain.
Yeah. What's Dan Larimer doing these days, dude?
I don't even want to know, dude. It's pretty rough. He's out there. Like chasing a whole other dimension.
Literally.
Yeah. And I used to like literally revere that guy, you know?
Yeah, because he's smart.
He is smart. Delegated proof of stake seemed like a thing.
It's great.
Great idea, dude. This sounds like a good way to kind of like, you know, initiate like an ecosystem that's not so, but yeah, it toppled in a sense. It got a lot of the things that Vitalik warned against like actually came true. But
sure.
In the delegation process. I mean, money always ends up winning, like in controlling these types of ecosystems one way or another.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
But anyways, so what was like the, oh yeah, self-serving. Dude, it's just, okay, so DMT is out there. Yeah, we think it's a good like addition to what is happening in the crypto space. You were on a Twitter space last night, right?
Yeah.
How did that go?
Leonidas. Yeah, so a lot of people still don't understand DMT. And then the response that we're getting is like, oh, it's too complicated.
Yeah.
DMT is too complicated. But I have to like read documents. It's like, we're in crypto. Everything in crypto is complicated.
Yeah.
I don't understand that justification. It's just laziness and back bias again.
Yeah, but it's okay. If they make that snap judgment of like, again, like, this is too complicated for me, I decide not to participate in it, then, you know, you made the mistake that I made in 2014, 2015.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I was trying to onboard into crypto, you know, and it was pretty fucking complicated back then. Very complicated. I could have figured it out, but I would have had to, like, actually put in that extra effort.
Yeah.
Had I done that, man, things would have been different.
You know, sitting on hundreds of Bitcoin.
Correct. I'd be right there in the Vatican. You know, side by side, dude, I'd be chilling.
Yeah.
But that's not the case, because I allowed the complication and like that resistance like deter me from actually, you know, making the right steps.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is like a critical flaw for a lot of people, is like not being able to like push past that barrier of resistance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in this case, okay, so who is actually encountering this difficulty for you, Nat, specifically?
Like
artists, right?
Yeah, artists. I guess they were trying to figure out how you actually render the cats. And I was telling them, I was like, that's too many steps. I was like, well, if you understand the protocol or the meta protocol, you would understand why there's that many steps.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't. And they don't spend any time on it. And I was telling you about it. And you're like, you know what? That's actually bullish. Anytime that that crew over there fade something, it just does the opposite. For example, Bitmap.
I was about to say, that's exactly what we experienced with Bitmap. We went on the same Twitter spaces. We were called up
several times.
Yeah, we were called up. It was like, dude, it's like somebody who knows something about what's going on with Bitmap, come up here, right? And yeah. It was always like you.
Yeah.
It's like, here's what's happening, guys. Let me explain why Bitmap's taken off. And then at the end of like the explanation is always like, still sounds stupid.
Yeah.
You know, you failed in your explanation attempt. So go back to your corner of ordinals and leave us alone.
Yeah.
And we'll sit here and talk about, you know, the next monkey drop.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's,
literally.
That's what it was. Yeah.
And they literally spent the next like 6 months talking about the next monkey drops.
Yeah.
While Bitmap was like building an actual ecosystem, it kept growing and continuing to excel.
Yeah.
And it became the number one ordinal collection by far.
Not only the ordinal collection, but the biggest NFT project in crypto.
I don't think it's taken that reign yet.
Well, it's the biggest outside of ENS domains.
Oh, you mean by holder count?
Yeah.
Oh, I was talking about like market cap.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Market cap, it is like the number one ordinal. So yeah, it's just, we saw all that, we experienced all that. We were like attacked from so many angles. It's like,
dude, we're getting attacked from people outside of Bitmap. We're getting attacked from people inside of Bitmap.
Well, now we are.
Yeah.
Now we're actually getting attacked.
It's quite entertaining, really.
Yeah. And slightly depressing.
I find it super entertaining.
I know.
It's depressing only because we're dealing with like psychology here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like the fact that these coins like really mess with your mind. And that's what's really depressing, is that we're humans just like they're humans, and they're being affected in ways that we can be infected.
Yeah.
And that's depressing.
Something like that. Pretty much.
Yeah.
But yeah, so after that Twitter space, yeah, I heard some of it and I was like, dude, perfect. Like they're reacting just like Ellie did to Bitmap, to DMT.
Yeah.
It's fine. The evidence is happening outside of that circle of like conversation that, you know, this is something not to be faded.
Yeah.
Right. So nobody needs validation from like that circle.
No.
In any way, shape or form.
No, none.
But it's fine. Like anybody's able to have their own positioning, whatever, dude.
Yeah.
I like to stick with legacy NFTs or ordinals. Fucking let me do that. You're free to do that, dude.
Yeah.
But there's a camp over here that's actually trying to like push the ball forward to some destination of innovation and progress.
Yes.
Some newness, right?
Yes.
So yeah. Good luck with your legacy stuff that has not transformed in any way over the last 3 or 4 years.
It's not transformed at all. That's crazy.
Yeah. All you've done is ported it to Bitcoin. Big fucking deal.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's a big fucking deal, but like the retail is not going to look at that and like be inspired. So, like,
ooh, we have artifacts on Bitcoin.
That's cool.
Yeah, let me go get that monkey now.
Right. Like, I thought monkeys like happened already.
Yeah.
It's like, well, they did, but these are on Bitcoin. I was like, oh. Yeah. Okay. Right.
And now you introduce something new, something like, hey, you know those monkeys that were hot on Ethereum? Well, they're being rendered based off of block data, mm-hmm. right? Something introduced where the artist can interpret what's happening on Bitcoin in a, you know, various ways.
Yeah.
And right?
Create like a forever existing tie together to the mechanisms of Bitcoin itself.
Yeah.
And like it becomes literally an eternally present, like part of the digital universe. Right.
Yeah.
And just as Bitcoin is.
It's alive, meaning that monkey could occur again.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if the founder Yuga Labs, they all just get hit by a bus.
Yeah.
And guess what? Monkey project dead.
Yeah, that's right.
That's not the case in this like non-arbitrary landscape, right? So that is going to be like the big like holy fuck me realization at some point.
Yeah, DMT tokens are always going to be in the conversation now forever because these patterns will occur again. Yeah. There's going to be new NatCats forming again.
Yeah. So we're going to need to see like something like that, some sort of like event on the horizon where like there's a popular like UNAT collection.
Yeah.
Hopefully it happens within like the next 6 months or something, and like an introduction of like another, I don't know, like it doesn't have to be, right now it's bits field, but maybe some other like pattern field.
Yeah.
Once those are unlocked, you know, it's going to become much more obvious like why these like expansionary like considerations are a big deal, right? Because it's going to be an actual like revelation of block production of these assets, right?
Yeah.
Like in real time, like it manifests as a block on mempool, right? Like actually, you know, is accepted. And then you're going to see like all these different digital matter components within that block manifesting before your eyes.
Yeah, I want to show you this image here. We were talking about it the other day.
What are you looking for?
I'm looking for, come on, where's the cat, dude? Here it is.
Oh, yeah, this is the case.
Hey, check this out. All right.
That's the perfect representation of what I'm talking about.
NatCat's timeline, right? Here's the Bitcoin blocks, right? Here are the NatCats that are formed based off the data of Bitcoin.
Yeah.
But here's the timeline. The first occurrence of NatCats, which occurred between, I guess the start in 2016, it occurs once. And every time there's an occurrence where the pattern exists, there's 2016 blocks.
Yeah.
So we have 2016 blocks here. The pattern never occurred again for 440 days. About a year.
More than a year. Yeah.
Right? And then it occurs again between 2000. Wait, what is this? Oh, these are the blocks. Okay, sorry.
No, those are the cats. That's like the grouping of cats.
Yeah. So does it have a timeline here? It's a timestamp from 2010. Yeah, 2010 time frame. So from February to March.
Mm-hmm.
And then it occurs again in 2011.
2 weeks.
Right? 2 weeks. Yeah. A difficulty adjustment lasts for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Right? And so it occurs again about a year later.
So then at the end of that, we have half the existing supply right there.
That's half. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so it's only been about like 2 years. Right? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, 3,243 days pass. Almost 10 years.
10 years, dude.
Almost 10 years without this pattern occurring again.
And nobody knew within that 10-year stretch that, like, what they really were missing were cats. Nobody knew. Nobody was aware.
Yeah.
It's like every block that was churning every single day was like another whiff.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, fuck, there wasn't another gnat cat born on this day. But Now we're looking back now, historically, you're like, wow. Like, you know.
Yeah, this happened.
This actually happened.
Yeah. And so now 10 years later, it occurs 2016 times. And then 1,400 days later, which is what, 4 years?
I mean, that's pretty recent right there, isn't it?
Yeah. So, yeah.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks
ago. Literally, like, the last batch was minting, at, you know.
Dude, that's
during
crazy.
The genesis of this whole, this whole new class of digital assets.
But let's assume DMT existed from the drop, right?
You know, like built into Bitcoin?
You know, it occurs. And then, you know, what if the founder dies, right? Somewhere between those 10 years, right? This will persist on with or without the founder.
How come? Explain that technically.
Well, because the way that this works is if it occurs, the pattern occurs again, right? There's new supply. That new supply can be acquired through any of the inscription services.
Right, but what about the actual, like, rendering of the asset?
Well,
how does that like persist indefinitely?
The script for the rendering is on chain as well, and so every mint inscription basically points to that script on chain.
Yeah. So yeah, and that, all that the seeds to that generative process, it is rooted in on chain information, right?
Yeah, it's all there.
So it's always going to be provided. All the different individual components that not only result in the non-arbitrary existence of these like assets, which is like the non-arbitrary token supply.
Yeah.
That is also retrieved and derived from blockchain information native to Bitcoin.
Right.
But also like the fucking rendering of the content itself is completely reliant and dependent on that as well. Right.
So yeah,
the whole damn thing is like a product of Bitcoin pretty much.
Yeah.
You know?
And so indefinitely this NatCats will be forever a conversational piece because it's completely dependent on what Bitcoin does.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's why I like to like quantify this as like a true like evolutionary step and like the progression of digital like content.
Yeah, this is what you were saying, NFTs 2.0.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it, dude. Because again, like, yeah, obviously digital collectibles are a big fucking deal.
Yeah.
It's going to be a prevalent and persistent part of everybody's life, and specifically like the upcoming generations. Like,
yeah,
that's the whole motivation to do NFTs in the first place, right? Is like, you know, we're going to live in the metaverse in the future.
Yeah.
We're going to need true ownership of our like activities to, you know, through on-chain assets. So let's take it a step even further and like, let's create an actual digital manifestation mechanism that's
right.
rooted in like the most valuable, you know, substrate layer on earth, which is Bitcoin, right? It just makes too much sense, maybe from our perspective, because we're actually perpetually building things in the metaverse space.
Yeah.
It's like, it just clicks with us.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, if we can actually root all of our creations to something that has real tangible value to it.
Yeah.
It feels like it gives our creations more tangible value as well. Right.
Yeah. And those creations are independent of humans, right? The data is based off of Bitcoin and it's like,
yeah,
it's just there already. Right. It's up to us to use it. And that's what DMT is. It's the utilization of the data that's already there.
Correct.
Just basic thermodynamics, guys.
So basic. Clearly, you're a fool if you didn't pay attention to that chapter in school. Thermodynamics. It must have been
that chapter.
Whatever, dude. You know what I mean. But it's not as easy as you make it sound, right? And we're learning that, right, through the public discourse and through the integrations, like, abroad, right? We've already figured it out on mScribe because, I mean, we designed mScribe singularly for this purpose, right? It's to facilitate the manifestation of digital matter. Like, that is, I mean, the tagline is literally ground zero for non-arbitrary tokens. That's what mScribe does.
Yeah.
Right? But I mean, we have like an unfair advantage in designing a platform for this stuff because, I mean, we envisioned it, right?
Yeah.
So the rest of the ecosystem kind of has to play a little bit of catch up, right? If they want to play.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of catching up, so we have a tweet here from Gnarl Magic. He's from Magic Eden. And someone asked him, say, Gnarl, will the cats be joining Magic Eden soon? He was like, you have to ask the cats. We're ready for them.
Okay.
And then Daniel comes in, is this true? DMT, NatCats, let's get the show on the road. And so EV, dude, such a perfect and surgical response every single time.
Yeah.
He says, Magic Eden has proposed an implementation approach for listing UNATs. We are reviewing this currently. If we evaluate that this approach provides the proper support for UNATs, we will proceed. Your patience is appreciated.
Boom.
So what's happening here is, in case you guys don't know like how Magic Eden works, is they request the creators to supply a batch of inscriptions that are essentially closed in, meaning it's up to the creator to append the supply if they want to, right? As creators have done, right? They sort of arbitrarily inflate their supply, so you could do that. But the burden is on the creators to supply this information to Magic Eden, and Magic Eden will take this information and then they will display whatever the creator submits. Mm-hmm. And so if the creator isn't understanding what it is that they're, you know, supplying to Magic Eden, for example, maybe they index it themselves and they have incorrect indexing.
Yeah.
Now people are going to Magic Eden, a place that they trust, buying things that came from a creator who probably doesn't know what he's doing. Mm-hmm. Not the case of Eevee, by the way.
Yeah.
But just an example. And all of a sudden, people are getting wrecked because Magic Eden puts the burden on the creator, right? It works for Magic Eden, but it doesn't work very well for the people using Magic Eden and the creator themselves.
So what is the proper, like, what do you think?
So this method works in the way where traditional legacy NFTs, right?
Okay.
It's like, I have a 10K PFP project. Here's what they look like. Here are the inscription numbers. Here's the images. Here's the GIFs, whatever it is. I'm going to package that up in a zip drive. I'm going to send it to Magic Eden. Magic Eden, do your thing. Just list it and send me the money.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's what traditionally happens and it works fine.
Yeah.
But we have something new here with DMT that is live, active, real time, you know? And so these batch implementations will not work for a number of reasons.
Yeah.
What if, you know, EV, you know, proceeds, which he should, right? Because that's how Magic Eden kind of works right now.
Mm-hmm.
But what if he proceeds and, you know, unfortunately, he just can't, you know, update the batch because that pattern occurs again.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, now Magic Eden just can't get the update, right? The new 2016 supply.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not connected to this ecosystem in real time. It's like, so what is Eevee supposed to do, right? He's got to get the new batch, update the batch that's currently on Magic Eden, and then all of a sudden there's a new supply.
Yeah.
Right? That doesn't work, mm-hmm. right? These platforms need to integrate and with TAP protocol and get these things updated in real time, because you don't know what happens to people.
Yeah.
Right? They could disappear for a number of reasons, right? They get sick.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, all kinds of stuff, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it can't be like the creator's responsibility to maintain these future, you know,
yeah,
batchment events. Because again, this is an indefinite like protocol.
Yeah, it's I just showed you there's this pattern had a gap of 10 years, dude.
Yeah, a lot can happen in 10 years, dude. A lot.
Wars.
Famine. Elections. What else happens in 10 year spans?
Pandemics.
Fucking new iPhones and stuff.
Nuclear wars.
Damn, dude. What the fuck? Can you calm down a bit?
Asteroids.
Absolute
famine.
Nuclear wars. Absolute desolation of Earth occurs within the next 10 years, pretty much.
So
it's possible. It is a vector of possibility.
Yeah, there's all these things that prevent the creator from doing a batch update.
Yeah.
Right?
Pretty much. So yeah, basically if these platforms refuse, again, the adaptation, the responsibility of adaptation to something that is new.
Yeah.
Which is what we're seeing, right? It's like I feel like it's a natural thing, you know, any new infrastructure requirement, I guess, that needs that level of support. You're going to need a lot more like market reinforcement, I guess. It's like, this is worthy of our resources and such, right?
Yeah.
It does make sense.
Because this is so new, it's kind of hard to kind of update your own systems because of this. All the Twitter guys, all the Twitter DJs are talking about these cats, and we don't really understand why they're talking about these cats, but it's just another thing that they're talking about, like without really understanding that this is an actual change with how things are done.
Yeah, so I think that's largely what's so, I guess, like, big props to Eevee here for actually, hold on, what was this, oops, for actually, I guess, like, fighting through this and, like, you know, making sure that NatCats are positioned properly into this, like, market infrastructure.
Yeah.
You know, for the sake of all other future UNATs, really.
Yeah.
It's like Eevee could have easily taken like the greedy routes. It's like, you know what? You know, let's just get these things out there so that we could just pump them to the moon, right? It's like, no, we got to, he feels that responsibility. He's ushering in this whole new thing by himself.
Yes.
Right? Because there's a lot of other units and they're up there.
They're already up there.
I don't think they feel that same like responsibility of like, you know, making sure upholding the world principles of DMT and making sure the infrastructure is properly aligned.
Yeah.
Right. He's going through with it. So everybody give him your energy.
Yeah.
If you actually believe in this as well, and like, you know, it needs to be done the right way.
Yeah. And Eevee's doing it right. So shout out to Eevee. And then, so Gnarl comes in with another tweet. Like if more come in referencing DMT stuff, you should know any UNATs on Magic Eden to date were indexed and self-submitted by the creators like any other collection, which makes sense for any other collection because there is no source data like Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Okay? Not Magic Eden, they say.
Mm-hmm.
This means they'd be manually updating any expansion updates as well. Meaning, if the pattern exists, you better update your art.
Yeah.
Right. Otherwise, we're not going to see it. You're not going to display it.
In other words,
all pissed off.
In other words, if you're manually updating these collections, you better quickly figure out how to become invincible. You better figure out how to become immortal.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, your collection is fucked.
It is basically. Yeah. It's dead on Magic Eden.
It's dead. So if you die, your collection dies with you.
It's like, but you know what? It's still better than spreadsheets. Right. So we're not going to update our systems for that little, you know, NatCats thing or whatever's happening with UNES. No, we're not going to update anything. Yeah. Right. We're just going to just send me your stuff. We'll make money and you'll make money. And that's really why we're all here. Right. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We're not here to like really do anything.
Yeah. So that's it's unfortunate, I guess, that But it makes sense, like, why this is happening. And, yeah, this is a testament to just how early everything is. Like, infrastructure has to literally adapt to what it is UNATs are and just non-arbitrary tokens, the whole ecosystem.
Yeah.
Because, again, that's why we're putting out these messagings. It's like, dude, do not play if you're not willing to do that.
Yeah.
Like, just stay the fuck away. It's like the ecosystem will flourish on its own.
Yeah, you guys have plenty of legacy NFTs to like flip all day.
Correct.
Right? If you don't want to update your systems to kind of support this new ecosystem, which is brand new, that has different requirements, yeah, you can't play.
Yeah. So that's all we're asking. We're publicly asking for like, if you see some value in this, you're not just trying to like, if you think this is just like a flash in the pan, like something that's just trendy, that's going to get like, magic eating some, some 100, 200 Bitcoin volume for like a month or two, and then it's just going to fizzle away.
Yeah.
We don't have to consider anything else beyond that,
Yeah. Yeah, just stick with the legacy stuff, because that works fine.
Yeah.
But
if you think this is actually like a true, innovation, and it's going to be a prevalent, persistent thing in your platform, do the due diligence. Do some put in some effort, dude. You guys have hundreds of millions of dollars in funding and shit like that. Yeah.
There's no excuse, dude.
Yeah, there's no reason why a little old us could figure out how to get these things properly displayed on Mscribe.
Yeah, 100%.
And big old you cannot.
Yeah, 100%. Okay. Real time, dude.
Yeah, exactly. So let's just...
Yeah, it's like, hey, Blockbuster, you don't need to worry about anything. That internet thing is just a flash in the pan.
Yeah.
Just continue pushing out your cassettes.
Pretty much. Yeah, this is not impossible in any stretch of the whatever.
Yeah.
So everybody be aware of that. That's what's happening, So again, fucking.
So again,
to fucking EV, dude, take it all.
Yeah, dude, EV's killing it, dude.
Yeah.
But so this is a PSA, right? Buying stuff on Magic Eden, especially DMT stuff, the burden is on the creator. If the creator doesn't understand in themselves what DMT is and like the responsibility of like keeping things updated and and indexed properly.
Yeah.
Right. If you're using Genie data and you're doing your own scripts to index yourselves, like that could introduce a problem. You could introduce incorrect information to Magic Eden, thereby having people buy incorrect inscriptions.
Mm.
It makes us, it's a problem for us, because when people come to Mscribe, they're like, hey, I bought this thing on Magic Eden, it's not showing up. It's like, that's not our fault, that's Magic Eden's fault. Magic Eden is like, that's not our fault, that's the creator's fault. The creator's fault is like, that's not my fault. I used Genie data to do this. And it's it's a giant mess.
Really is. Wow. Okay. Well, step one, read the Git book as that was pushed this week.
Yeah.
The updates to it. Actually, truly try to understand, because a lot of these non-arbitrary token deployments, they did come in like even before the official documentation update was released for UNAT support, right? So
that's why this indexing is so important. It's the actual truth. Mm-hmm. Right? If you're not utilizing track indexing to find out what the truth is, you're making it up.
Yeah,
it's really that simple.
Yeah. All right, that was the PSA, dude.
All right,
there it is.
So here's the update. There's like a UNAT section. We go through explicitly how to render on-chain images for UNATs. Yeah. There's the creator journey. I submit a script into Bitcoin. I deploy my token, NatCats, and I have people mint, and that mint points back to the deployment.
Which points back to the script.
Which points back to the script. The script says, give me a block number. Yeah. I have a block number here. It's, I can't really zoom in. It's 319.924. That's submitted to the script. Therefore, you get NatCat.
Yeah. And it's non-arbitrary form.
Yeah.
Right.
It's really not complicated.
It's not.
If you think it's complicated, that's because you haven't read the docs and you haven't done your due diligence. It's that simple.
Pretty much. Yeah. You actually just being lazy.
Yeah.
And that's
fine. And that's fine. It's fine. That's fine.
It's cool.
Yeah. Just be lazy. It's fine.
Look at me, dude. I'm I've had my lazy moments or two. I understand. I get it, dude. Sometimes you just want to veg out and just, fuck.
Dude. No, not me, dude. No.
Oh, yeah. You and your fucking Rambo fucking take off your shirt, dude. Show just how unlazy you are. Fucking A.
Well, I guess we weren't that lazy because we were able to come up with this framework, right? So
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. But that's it for us.
Yeah. So if we miss anything, shout out to Evie.
Big shout out.
Big shout out to Benny, as usual. Benny,
always killing it. God, dude, Benny. God damn it.
Shout out to team at M-Scribe for doing what Magic Eden is, you know. Yeah,
incapable.
For what?
Because it's too complicated, dude.
Yeah, I guess. And shout out to anybody who's actually doing the due diligence, not being lazy, actually figuring out what this actually is.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, actually, I can apply my art for real. Like, I have a true intention to be part of this ecosystem's growth.
Yeah.
And, like, actually wanting it to do it the right way.
Yeah.
Shout out to all of you. Who else? Shout out to ourselves for trying our best to, like, answer everybody's questions.
Yeah.
And, like, trying real hard to, for all, you know, to keep up with the support. It's a lot.
Yeah.
We have, like, tons of DMs, and we're trying our best, guys.
And, dude, shout out to the haters, too, because you guys are doing a
good job at hating.
Yeah, good job.
Fucking great job, dude.
Yeah, and that's helping us a lot, actually, so it's good.
That is actually...
Keep the effort going.
Keep throwing the turds our direction, dude. It's fucking great.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, we literally feed on turd. Let's fucking go, dude.
All right, on that note, I appreciate you guys for watching, and we will catch you in the next podcast.
All right, peace.
Thank you for listening to the BlockRunner podcast. Make sure you visit the website at theblockrunner.com and sign up to stay up to date on the latest crypto. Reach out to us on Twitter at theblockrunner.